result for her baby to turn, thank you, Kim, to avoid stress in her delivery, and a 108-year-old mom. I mean, really. Kim, oh my gosh. Jeez. Thank you. Really, I mean, it struck me last week, but it's even a little bit more meaningful this week to just look out and see you all in all ages and stages and ways that you're dealing with life and navigating. And I don't know. This ministry is never ending, and God help us that it does never end. Okay. Have you recovered from Halloween? Are you gearing up for Thanksgiving? Do you have your Christmas decorations up? Why do these holidays have to be so close? How about Thanksgiving in March? Right? Let's get a petition going. If they can change daylight savings, which didn't, of course, happen, I think we can change Thanksgiving. But I've never been that person that can do all of it between now and Christmas Day. It all seems to just kind of drag on for me. I can't get it all done. And something about that time, this time of year, right after Halloween, my stress level starts to go up. The decorations have been in the store since my birthday, which is in September. I try not to look at them to avoid the panic attack at the thought that I already feel behind. Can anybody relate to that? By the time I've compared myself to all the pictures on Instagram of all the perfect homes and the perfect meals and the perfect gifts, I'm like, forget it. But having an empty nest, and then also this year, we're not going to be home for either Thanksgiving or Christmas, my motivation's pretty low. It's always nice to have somebody over in December, which makes me kind of throw up something. And then I got a text message that one of our friend's son is selling garland for scouts. I said, okay, that'll help. I'll get that garland. That'll look festive. I don't know why we do this to ourselves. I think part of it is tradition, part of it is, you know, pressure, part of it is expectation. It's just be easy with yourself. I hope that you are able to go at the pace that works for you. And that the most important thing is that you're surrounded by people that not only pour into you, but that you can pour into. Okay. Today I'm speaking about loving our neighbors and loving our friends. The verse I chose for the little card that Kim makes every week is from Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help them up. I like this verse for both groups that we're talking about today, and I'll tell you why. Falling down and helping each other up can mean many different things and provide different opportunities to be there for others. I'm sure you've heard it said in the news that we're in an epidemic of loneliness. Who knows why? There's a lot of people with a lot of thoughts on that. But bottom line is, being alone and lonely, or acting as if we don't need anyone or any help, seems to be rampant in our world today. We are more isolated, individualized, and seemingly self-reliant than ever before. Scripture from thousands of years ago tells us that loving is necessary, and letting others into our hearts is life itself. To let others rely on us as we might rely on them, and lastly, to selflessly serve those we know and those we don't know. Last week I shared the quote from the book about marriage, in the idea that it rarely happens that a husband and wife are strong at the same time. That typically one will be strong when the other is not. And I believe that applies to the ideas of loving our neighbors and our friends as well. I got to be honest, I struggled with the chapter on loving our neighbors. There was nothing in this chapter I had not heard before, yet there were some really convicting concepts in it about accountability for our potential prejudices or our fear of those who are not like us, and that we are called to simply love our neighbors and challenge the fear that might accompany some of our attitudes. Loving and caring for our actual neighbors, those in our neighborhood, feels a bit like a no-brainer, but it still takes time and effort. Some neighborhoods obviously are different than others. The one in which we raised our kids 30 years ago was one of an open-door policy and multiple daily gatherings in each other's front yards. Yes, kids made it easier to be out and about, and it was 30 years ago when it was more common to be neighborly. Fast forward to the neighborhood I currently live in, and it's rare to see anybody out in their front yard. It's the classic drive home, go into the garage, shut the door, and get in the house. Or that's what it feels like some days. I'm not the bake a pie for the new neighbor's person. And as hard as that is to admit, that seems to be normal for the street I live in right now. Sure, we wave as we drive by people, but there's no real quality of connection. The only time we were all out was when that DJ guy, during COVID, came to our street. Did anybody have that? Right? And then we were all out dancing. Never saw those people again. But we were all desperate at that point. It's hard to say, but for me, there's some guilt attached. I'm sure we all have had at some point a difficult situation with a neighbor, which has maybe turned us off to being a little more friendly. We had a neighbor a long time ago when my kids were young who would call the police if our dog barked too long. Okay, that was annoying, but calling the police was a little much. And so the kids were afraid to knock on his door when the ball would go over the fence. In hindsight, Jesus would have me bake him cookies and go knock on the door and do a gesture of goodwill. That was not in my reality then. But I do have to ask myself now, am I afraid? Am I too busy? Am I uncomfortable that it wouldn't be received well? Or just too self-absorbed? I'm still working at it and wrestling with God about how I feel like I haven't paid attention to his calling with neighbors. And of course, in only the way God can orchestrate it, our sermon last Sunday was all about serving the poor and the marginalized. So another little zing in my head. And then there are neighbors in different communities and different countries. Some of you I know have done some amazing mission trips. Patty, you are all over the globe, literally, in your mission work. Stacy, I know, is committed to Kids Alive and does an amazing job in the DR. And many of you here whose story of serving we don't know, hopefully you might share it around your tables today. Some of you have spent probably time at Mission Partners in the Bay Area on a regular basis. Last week, putting together the pillowcases for the DR and supporting individual kids that way. I think we all have the right intentions, and yet, how far is God calling me to go to my neighbors, near and far? I served in Mexico with a high school trip from this church. I went 7 or 8 times, I can't remember. It's a great experience. I would recommend it for anyone, especially if you have the opportunity at some point to go with your own student. There's a bit of self-serving in that type of Mexico experience, because to be there is large part in watching your student do the magic of serving and celebrating their faith in tough circumstances. I did go, though, again, several times without one of my kids, and it was rewarding in a much different way. It changed me as much as I hoped and prayed it helped other people. But ever since Mexico, my serving neighbors who are farther afield has pretty much been put on the back burner. The Seven Laws book says, love can have the deepest impact in and through our lives when we share it with those outside of our comfort zones. It's not comfortable to travel by bus to Tijuana, to sleep in a tent with unpredictable weather. In my day, I helped prepare 3 meals a day for over 100 people. There were other people too, it wasn't just me. The bathroom facilities are less than ideal. But the sacrifice and the blessing is beyond measurable. The connection with the team you work with, travel with, and potentially share a tent with as a lifelong one, I know this must be the way it is, no matter the location or the mission trip. I shared an air mattress 1 year with Terry Sylvester, and if you know Terry, she's about this tall and about this big around. And the joke got to be that every time I would get off the air mattress, she would fly up in the air. But you know, that's a memory. She'll never forget it. God calls us to the poor and needy, and it is easily accomplished, even locally, through all the different organizations that we have access to. I think for me it's a heart thing of some kind, and I'm hopeful that I can set a goal to provide selfless service in a new and meaningful way soon. Okay, enough about my issues. Thanks for letting me confess to you all. We can do a lot of loving our neighbors also in very easy ways as we go through our day. You know this. Simply being kind and friendly wherever we go certainly spreads the love and light of Jesus that can impact lots of people. I've made it a priority to look service providers in the eye, smile, and ask them how they are in a genuine way. And a few times people have said, "Thank you for asking," as if that is rare. It made me recognize that it may not happen in our world today very often, and we can be that person. I can't save the world, but I can do loving things with small actions. So, let's talk about friends. It's been quite a journey for me to go back and think about the history of my friendships. And I kind of see my relationships with friends as a series of concentric circles. It starts with the outer circle of people I know or have known in the past, yet don't have contact with any longer or who are passing by my life on rarely. Then there are the people that I know, but in a different season or in a different location. And at the time, we were friendly. We had coffee, we did little outings, but we don't see each other anymore. Then come the people who I know well, and they've either moved away or life has taken them out of my day-to-day sphere of contact. I miss them, but I'll confess I'm not a very good long-distance friend. That is a challenge for me. Inside, next, are people I knew well in my workplace. Just 2 months ago, I had a staff that I was really connected with. I shared a majority of my week with them. Some I will stay in contact with, others not so much, but it's as if they've disappeared out of my life overnight. And then there is what might be called the inner circle, and this would be the smallest one. This circle contains a few women that I trust, that trust me, and that I know are there for me no matter what I do or say. Can I just say that I love women's friendships? Agree? I love that we can relate at so many levels and know without asking that something might be going on with the other person. In the book we're using for the fall is this quote: "Real friendship is comprised of two things, the ability to have transparent disclosure of self and the other's ability to hear it and treasure it." I love the concept of a friend treasuring what I have told them. To me, that means it's valued, it's important, it's held gently, and it's precious. Author Carol Kent calls the friends that came alongside her in a particularly difficult time stretcher bearers. It goes back to the idea of when one is strong, the other can lift them up. I have a dear friend who has had more tragedy in her life than anyone else I know. Her faith and resilience on the Holy Spirit has been a model for me. And whenever I've had some of my minor difficulties compared to her, she's been there for me, no questions asked. It's hard to even explain, as I'm sure you are very aware, how important friendships can be in our lives and how history with those friends creates a bond that is solid. Like we talked about last week with marriage and families, these relationships take investment. When we love people, we make it a priority to be present with them. True friendship requires availability. We aren't just there in the moments that are convenient for us. We are also there in the moments that are important to them. My daughter is a very high, what my husband calls, feeler. But she's very relational and she's very sensitive. And, oh, by the way, I need to tell you, I've only been married for 50 years. When my husband listened to the tape and he goes, "You said we've been married for 51. And I went, "So isn't it usually the guy that does that?" But a year ago, on our actually 49th anniversary, we went to Hawaii with our family to celebrate turning 50, having it be 50. So I got confused. not good with numbers. But when we went away for that trip in Hawaii, my daughter also got married for the second time. And because of her sensitivity and the way she appreciates friends, she called one of my best friends and invited she and her husband to come and surprise us. Because we did a lot that week. We also renewed our vows while we were there before they got married. It's very cool. Anyway, so I was surprised by this friend and her husband coming. So that was a demonstration. That was a little more dramatic than maybe some of the things that we need to do often, but it was her way of showing the value of that woman in my life and that couple sharing with us a really, really important event in our life. To me, that makes a mark that is indelible on a friendship. A shared experience is always a connecting point with people. Let's be honest, have there been many years when you would have preferred to have friends for Thanksgiving or Christmas instead of family? That's a thought I have had. It's awful, I know, but there would be no drama. Jesus had his friends, and if you've ever seen a film or a written depiction of his relationship with his disciples, you can tell that they had fun. They enjoyed each other, they supported each other, they rejoiced and grieved with one another. I came upon this book, I think it was one of the lists that Kristen gave us for a resource. It's called Friendships of Women, the Hidden Tradition of the Bible. And it highlighted Mary Magdalene in the book, not only as a faithful follower of Jesus, but one of his closest friends. She was the leader of the group of women that followed Jesus throughout his ministry. She supported him in his wild, free-ranging, revolutionary approach to life and his world. She never left his side, and she was the first person to see and talk with him after his resurrection. What they call the Magdalene quality of friendship involves knowing all there is to know about a person, to celebrate their fortunes, weather their troubles, and accompany them in their pain. A really lovely way to describe a friend. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Jesus literally gave his life for all his friends and all of us. We won't be called to do that same sacrificial act, but laying down our lives might look different. It could mean offering more of our time to a friend, being a bit more bold and going deeper in conversation to really get to know a friend. even those conversations that might be a little bit out of our comfort zone. And this involves honesty, but it also involves forgiveness. If you've ever been hurt or betrayed by a friend, or have hurt or betrayed a friend, it's important to be courageous, I think, enough to approach and ask for reconciliation or forgiveness or both. It's an important part of a valued relationship. In God's economy, time is the currency of relationships. We all don't have a lot of extra time, I get it. But the occasional text check-in or the small gift or something you know a friend likes goes a long way in the investment of a relationship. We moved from Moraga to Marin County in 2012. It was an emotional decision, as my husband calls it, as our first grandkids were living over there. And if I go back to what I shared last week about the happily ever after myth, which still hasn't happened for me, I figured that we needed to be close to them for the rest of our lives. And that would fill my every dream. I might not have known what I was doing, but God knew what he was doing. After we'd been there a few months, our son and his wife divorced with a 5- and a 3-year-old. And he ended up moving into our home for a safe place to be and to give the girls a secure family environment. It was a joy to have them. I never expected I would be a part-time mom figure, but I treasure those days and pray that they will know as they get to be adults that Gordon and I were there for them in a really important and meaningful way. He ended up moving about 30 miles away, and so we were no longer needed quite so much. We hadn't been able to find a church that we liked, or a community that we felt comfortable in, and that had interests in common and age and stage of life. So it became kind of difficult to be there. And the girls moved away. One morning I woke up with this very clear thought that we needed to move back to Moraga. We had left a church, a community, many close friends, and as crazy as Gordon thought I was, it was really obvious that our work, so to speak, was done in Marin. It made it a little bit more difficult to see the grandkids, but that we could overcome. And our day-to-day life became what it had been, relationships that were important and that we had missed greatly. Ladies, we need people. We need friends and neighbors in whatever form that might look. And in whatever way and with whomever God has placed us with. God calls us to love them all by being the best version of ourselves in loving action. We can be that action-oriented person in a way that honors them and glorifies God. So I have put on your tables a sheet on forgiveness. One side is forgiveness for yourself and one side forgiveness for others. I wish I'd had this last week, but I found it just this few days ago. So I thought it could be helpful in any relationship, obviously, that we have, but especially the whole sheet on, do you not have one, you guys? Okay, here. I have it. I wondered why I had so many extras. Here we go. Elizabeth, you want to come? Forgiving ourselves, I think, is one of our higher goals when it comes to our spiritual walk and just being able to be that solid person, whether it be a friend or a neighbor, and serving selflessly. So that's it for me. I don't even know if it was 20 minutes, but it's all I got. So thank you.